Holy Father, I'm calling you Father because you are the Father of the faithful. You are faithful to those that are faithful to you. And those that are not faithful to you, you are faithful to your word to do what you said that you would do. We're here today in very somber conditions. There's a war that has been placed on us, and you know who's doing it. You know who sit up in their beds and plot to destroy we, your people. And you also see how we join in with them to destroy us. Teach us your word. Teach us how to live. Teach us how not to bastardize your words according to the spirit of the age of rebellion, the age of autonomous rule of man. Help us to bow the knee to you. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the magnificent righteous one. Amen, amen, and amen. For those that don't know it, I'm not a Democrat. For those that don't know it, I'm not a Republican. For those that don't know it, I'm biblical. So if I go to a buffet table of Democrat and I see something that I like, I'll take it. If I've seen Democrats over the years do things that I don't like and say things that I don't like and promote things that I don't like, yet I see them show that systematically and legally that they've done things to hurt our people on purpose, I'm going to take that from them. I'm going to take the issue, and I've evaluated and I see that it's a true issue. I did not get that from my Republican brothers. If I look in the Republicans and I see that they had done something back during the time when Bill Clinton was president and they were going to do work, from welfare to work, and he overrode it and passed it and benefited a lot of our black women, I'm going to give him credit. But that's not our sermon today. What our message is that for me, I've often, probably since I was early 20s, it's kind of hard to think that maybe even early 30s, I mean, I'll be 60 next year if God be willing. But there was a man I listened to one day on the radio, and I'm like, who is this man? Talent on loan from God. And I heard him say his name was Rush Limbaugh. And I thought about it. I said, everybody's talent is on loan from God. He didn't say anything wrong. I learned a lot of things of what is called conservatism, you all. And in looking at it, I learned things that I liked. But when I go deeper behind the surface, thanks to a man by the name of Dr. Claude Anderson, what is being conserved? What is being conserved when we talk about the founding fathers, when we talk about the documents that were written, the things that were promised not only to us, but that was promised to be the way that America would be taken care of and the way that it would rule government. And we see not only is that not being done, America has broken a lot of its promises. When I say America, I'm talking about really the people that are in control. And what I see in the situations like that, that this is not the exception, it's the rule. When I see that in conservatism, you want to get things back like it was with the founding fathers that had we black people as slaves, as chattel. They could go and rape one of our daughters, our sons, our wives, and break a buck and rape our husband, and work us without pay, and build up wealth, and have that wealth to pass on as an inheritance to their descendants and their descendants' descendants, and because you had no rights as a black man, and because you had no property that you could have, you're going to pass on to your children nothing but the ability to be chattel, and then your people, when they grow up, they're going to be able to look and see that it was a system set up in law to destroy you and to wipe away every vestige of who you are. And when you look and you see that it's not accidental, you realize that there is a war to destroy you as a people because your usefulness is over. Tim, why are you talking about this? You're going with the black again. I'm tired of hearing the black. Are you tired of hearing the truth? Are you tired of hearing people talk about race problems? Are you tired of not understanding whether God is going to make peace in this land? Are you tired of finding that you don't know what to do, how to do it, and where to go to get help? Then, please, bear with me and allow me to talk from the unadulterated, unparalleled Word of God. I like that word, unparalleled. You see, can't nothing really go beside it and be equal. You've already heard his everlasting name to sit between the cherubim. Yesterday I was listening to Mark Stein on the Rush Limbaugh show. Rush Limbaugh has cancer, and some days he's taken off. And Mark Stein made a statement, and it was like a golden buzzer on American Idol or the X Factor. Which one is that show? One of those shows where you go in, I think it's America Got Talent. It bothered me that it slipped my mind. And it's like the golden buzzer and horns blowing and all of that kind of stuff. In other words, this is very, very poignant. It's almost like Aristotle. They say when Aristotle would teach his students, if it was poignant, he'd slap them. And so the emotion with what he was teaching would make them remember it. Mark Stein said this. He was quoting and talking about tearing down the signs, the tearing down the monuments, which if you are black, if you are a descent of Hebrews, and I'm going to show you some stuff today, you should never tear down the signs. You should never tear down the statutes. You should always want to know what it is that they elevated. You should always want to know what they honored. You should always want to know how you were treated. You should always want to understand what the emblems of their pride was. For instance, James, Mary, and Sims, who cut up people, who bust the brains of black people and experimented on them. Why would you get rid of that statue? Because eventually they'll be able to say that it never happened. And you'd be able to say, well, he did that on his own. But no, you had a statue. You had a monument showing what your avarice, your greed, I say avarice, you may not know what that is, your greed, your debauchery, and your savagery toward us was. So he made a comment. Y'all need to speak up a little bit. Thank you, precious love. So he made a comment that stuck out yesterday, and I went and found it. You all know how I am. It's like, I didn't want to mess it up. So this is going to be my first one. And it's a quote from George Orwell. Listen to this quote. The most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history. Perhaps one did not want to be loved so much as to be understood. Who controls the past controls the future. George Orwell. If this is something that man knew, how is it then? When Gilbert and Love came up and dismissed so much of the Holy Scripture and dismissed so much of the Bible, how is it then when these people did it that we have no inclination that they were writing and rewriting history? They knew what they were doing, leaving out books of the Bible. How is it? There's something going on with the camera, precious love. Okay. How is it when individuals tout this book, this is a facsimile of the book, The Origin of the Species, for means of self-preservation, of the most favored race in the struggle for life. What you'll just see on the front, the origin of the species, because we don't want you to really see the truth. But I pull it closer to you. Do you see it? The whole title? My wife tell me to wait a minute, so what I'll do is I'll go back to where I was and before the camera started acting. And not on what pressure. I'll give you a minute, but what I'm going to do, what I'm endeavoring to do, is to show you all that history has been taught to us in a certain way, and it's not accidental. I'm going to show you that there's been a plan to destroy us, to wipe us off of the planet, and it is not a soft plan. It's a very hard plan, and it's because of who we are. It has a lot to do with our color. It has a lot to do with what God has set forth to be judgment for the wickedness that we have joined in with other people. And until we get our minds right, the Most High God, the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, will know that we are the ones that He's got to judge. So, since the camera is back up, acting right, I want you to understand, I'm going back to the place, just in case it came back online. I just want the individuals to know that this statement was made by George Orwell, who had a book or a movie called 1984. It says the most effective way to destroy people, the most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their own history. Perhaps one did not want to be loved so much as to be understood, period. Who controls the past controls the future. Do you hear me say, don't destroy those statues? Do you hear me say, don't get rid of those emblems? Do you hear me say, I'm not stupid? I don't care if I got another million people that watch me every week or have this big building. I'm telling you the truth. Have ears to hear and have eyes to see. If this is something that the people in charge know, you don't know it. Why? Because you're playing a race game. A race game. I'm not talking about this kind of race. You see, this kind of race by Charles Darwin, you see, the origin of the species, they control history by telling you the different name. This is not the daggum name of the book. The name of the book, the origin of the species, by means of natural selection, they're the most favorite race in the struggle for life. Let me read it to make sure I got it right, because I know I have the gist of it. Let's see, the origin of the species by means of natural selection, or the preservation of favorite races in the struggle for life. I've also seen it as the most favorite race in the struggle for life. One. That's a book that they put out. And this book says that we are not people. This book says that we came from the ape and we are under in every way. And Christianity, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many other facets of business in America have said that we did not evolve enough to have rights. That's what conservatism, they believe in that. The Baptists believe in that. The conservatives believe in it because we have evolved. The Baptists and the other religions that were Christianity, they believe that we have the curse of Ham on us, and therefore we were treated a certain way. Controlling the history, this is why you were out there slave Bible. The unholy Bible with over 30 books, I believe it is, missing. I could open it up and read the table of contents. Not going to do it right now. Why? Because I'm telling you now, our history has been placed in a way that we won't know who we are. It is not accidental. I'm submitting to you that there is a plan to destroy us. Today's message, I've shown you that about the history. I've shown you that I believe we're going to be destroyed. But our today's message is, when the vision of good overrides the revelation of God, we will inevitably damn our own selves. When we as a people that are under a struggle, when we have the law of the land against us, and our vision of good is to have inclusion with everybody, irrespective of their lifestyle, irrespective of their belief, irrespective of what their agenda is, and we're going to come together and make a coalition to get God's blessing on us. It will never work. We will damn ourselves. Somebody will take over. And if your type of group is like that, you have a priori, you have from the beginning of the genesis of your group determined, we will not have God rule in this group. We will not do things His way. And when your history is already rewritten, then your thought processes have already been put in a paradigm in which you think. In other words, you've been given these red glasses to wear, and everything you see has a tint of red on it. Today I'm going to talk about why I believe that in 20 years, we black people, as we are called in America, or a plan, or we're on a planned, orchestrated path of permanent impoverishment moving toward extinction. We're on a planned, orchestrated path to be impoverished, to always be a subservient class, to the point of extinction. I just read to you what Orwell said about controlling somebody's history. I didn't make that up. I didn't come up with it on my own. I wasn't that brilliant. I just noticed that these are the kind of things that have been done. I want you to listen to what has been stated by the people that are our overlords. They talk about the right to be forgotten. You can look that up on Wikipedia. The right to be forgotten. I'm reading one of the paragraphs and it says, there has been a controversy about the practicality of establishing the right to be forgotten to the status of an international human right in respect to access of information, due in part to the vagueness of current rulings attempted to implement such a right. Let me tell you what we're talking about here. Rewriting history in such a way that you forget all the evils that have been done. Furthermore, there are concerns about its impact on the right of freedom of expression, its interaction with the right to privacy, and whether creating a right to be forgotten would decrease the quality of the internet through censorship and rewriting of history. When you read about the right to be forgotten, you'll see that the European Union has something to do with that. Again, with me not wanting to read everything in it, I just wanted you to see that there is a thing afield that we can change. We can change. Do I need to move the microphone closer to me? I just need to speak up, okay. I noticed that on a video I watched the last time, so I'm glad you're bringing that up. I want you to understand something else that Orwell said. He talked about a memory hole. A memory hole. He says a memory hole is any mechanism for the deliberate alteration or disappearance of inconvenient or embarrassing documents, photographs, transcripts, or other records, such as from a website or any other archive, particularly as part of an attempt to give the impression that something never happened. That came in that novel, 1984. Are you all beginning to see something? Are you all beginning to see that we will rewrite history? Are you beginning to see that we have a way that we can shut you down? Are you beginning to see that there is something that's going afloat that you're never ever supposed to be able to know these things, because if we can control your history, we can demolish you as a people. The last thing. In 1747, there was a map made by a man named Emanuel Bowen. Do you happen to have that one? Did that one allow you to come up? Emanuel Bowen. And it shows the place that is called Africa. And in that place called Africa, for those that don't see it, over Guinea, which is in West Africa, is in West Africa, on the south part of West Africa. Guinea, above that land, is called Negro land at that time, or Negro land. Right before you see Guinea, where you see the G in Guinea, that little swath of area right there is called the Kingdom of Judah. J-U-D-A. This is where slaves were brought to America. This is where slaves were taken to the Caribbean. And what would happen is the people that will not allow you to know your history, the people that rewrite your history, will tell you all that you are African American just because you were shipped from Africa. Let me go to Canada right now and live, and they ship me from Canada. That would not make me a Canadian. If I went to live in Australia, that would not be the genesis of where I'm from. The Bowen map, 1747. Bowen map. And if a person that can't see it because they're just listening to me, you just type in Bowen map, Kingdom of Judah. It will pull that up. Yeah, I have much more, but I'm not going to go through it. We can deal with it in discussion. But I want you to see one last thing, and this is from a book. Last week I was reading, and one of my problems is, and my wife told me, don't get rid of your paper books, is I have all these books online. Oh, over 11,000 books, and they're digitized. There come updates inside of my software. With an update one day, it could easily be, even in mine, that words can be changed and that I would not have the information that I once had. So I guess what will happen is that I'll have to deal with in the future dealing with more print books. Your history, Naomi, is your landmark. Your history is the history of what God has done. You see, history is always theological. It's always how God deals with the person, how he deals with the nation, etc. So, I want us to see what our passage is dealing with in the light of what is going on when people are trying to destroy us. You see, some people have it good. And when they have it good, it doesn't matter to them about the destruction of others. And yet they don't see the destruction that's coming their way. That was what Mordecai was telling Esther. Mordecai, if you haven't read the book of Esther, know about Hadassah. Oh, you good. You up in here with the king. You able to lay up with the king and get to eat all that kind of food. But Haman is determined to destroy God's people. And when he explained it to her, she determined, I'm going to do something about it. I might die. She said, if I perish, I perish. She called for a 3-day fast as she went before the king, and she was able to turn that obliteration that was orchestrated and planned around. So let's look at our beautiful, beautiful passage. I want you to see that our enemies want to kill us. And I want to show you that from the Psalms. Then we'll go back to Numbers. Is that fair? I want to prove that they want to destroy us. I wasn't even planning on doing this, and I had played the Psalms last night while I was sleeping. And I got up this morning and I heard this. And I said, this is it. This is what our enemies have planned for us. Psalm 109, a Psalm of David. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. Understand this. Listen to this in terms of what's going on with us now. Listen to this in terms that they want to get rid of the black male. Because everything that you're saying right now, you're using the activist group to say that you're going to represent all the black people. And the activist group does not want males to be males. They want them to be transgender. They don't want females to be females. They want them to be transgender. They don't want us to have the patriarchy because they say men rule. We don't want men to rule. We want to have our own sexual identity, as we call it.
and we want to promote homosexuality, and we want to say that black people that are homosexual don't have benefits, which is a damnable lie. They always were able to be in the church since I was born. They always were able to be over governmental authority in the city and whatever. They weren't able to get what the white homosexual people got. They weren't able to be like Rock Hudson. They weren't able to be like Liberace. They weren't able to be considered famous and to be wonderful in their homosexuality, and yet they were sleeping with the white men. So their equality was not to be with equality with us or the white people. It was to be with their paramours. That's why you can get the black women that are homosexuals, and they can get with people like Ellen. They can get with people like, what's the name of that woman? I don't remember her stupid name. She was on a movie with Sylvester Stallone, a big old, what's that, Michael Douglas, and anyway, she was on there. She seduced him. Yeah, Sharon Stone. You can get to be on those things, and they can promote it. When you promote it in the industry, and you own the industry and the distribution, and you are not black, you're promoting something. But at the same time, you're denigrating the black male. You have locked us up. You have sold us in prison. Not only do you castrate us, but with Margaret Sanger and Frances Galton, you're determined to kill us from the root, and you want to kill the bread. You want to destroy us. And it's there. You have planned it. You rewrote our history. You don't even tell us there's nothing about us being of the kingdom of Judah. You're damnable liars. You rewrite history and you teach it to us in the school and give us a bubblegum education, and as if we're so great because we can go and do something. Do you know when I first went to college, I was scared. I ain't going to be able to pass this. And I saw my first class. I said, this is it? And after a week, I said, I can do this. And whatever they give me to do, just do what they tell me. I did it. It was so easy. And it's easier even now. Because now you mostly seem like you need to do is be politically correct and say what you've been indoctrinated to say. So listen to the psalmist talk about the enemies. I want you to listen to what he says he wants God to do to his enemies and realize at the end of this, he said, this is what they have planned for us. Hold not your peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about with words of hatred. They fought against me without a cause. What cause have they beat us? What cause have they done? What have we done to make them rape us? What have we done to take land from us? What have we done that we have no inheritance, but you have inherited off of our free labor forever? What did we do? What did we do that you come and rip us up out of our bed and take us to another country and put us over there and beat the hell out of us and rape our husband? What did we do? What did we do that you call us monkeys? What did we do that you put us in the circus? What did we do that you cut us up open and you go and do a spin up on us? What did we do that you come in and tell us we can't be a people? We can't have a family structure. We're going to make your men homosexual. We're going to make your women homosexual, and you're not going to have a family. What did we do? And then when we get ready to do something about it, you want to come in and say you're going to help us. You want to help us and take over and continually destroy us. Your plans are the total decimation of us. And in 20 years, the way that it's going, Netflix and the tunnel, we're going to do everything under the auspices of Black Lives Matter. And when you read their group, it is not the pro-family that God has set up. And if you don't like me saying it, I will say the NAACP has joined in to do the same kind of thing. We don't want to hear the doctrine of God. Saints, what's wrong with us? We're going to be gone. You go and you read the Equality Act. I keep telling people to read stuff. They won't do it. They're lazy. And when the bomb hits them, they're going to say, it's bad. But you had time. It says, for, listen, they have fought against me without a cause. So my love, they are my adversaries. I've given myself to prayer. How many black women breastfed little white babies? How many black people took and bathed and took care of their master, made sure that nothing was going on in their home? How many? But for our love, they were our adversaries. They rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Calling you nigger, calling you spick, calling you spook. You can't even walk through the woods with a stick. It's against the law. You can't even have a gun to protect yourself when you go out in the woods. And so the Second Amendment was passed not for you. It was passed to keep you in check. That's why the padded role of the police force was made. Set thou a wicked man over him. You hear what David says? Set thou a wicked man over him, and let the adversary stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. This is what they want for us. Now understand, David is praying, God give them what they want. They have always set people over us. They always set our parameters. They always set what we're going to have in school. They set up the curriculum that we're going to have in church. And they have taught you in your churches to have this kind of Bible, a slave Bible. I hear black preachers will say something like that. That's Old Testament. I'm going to bust that so hard today that I hope I obliterate it to hell. And I do mean Gehenna. Because it comes from the pit of the dadgum demons. So when he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer be a sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife be a widow. Is this not what we've experienced? Have not the church that's supposed to be the church of God, our white evangelical brothers, let this happen? And they still look at us and we're beneath them. As if we still need their approval to stand for God just because Gutenberg made a press. He did not write the word of God. He printed it. Gutenberg, Ashkenaz, German. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek bread out of their desolate place. Let the extortioner catch all that he has and let strangers spoil his labor. David is praying, Lord, what they've been doing to us, what they want to do to us, let it be on them. The Psalms is full of that. The Psalms is full of you. However, you dig a pit, let them fall in it. They got a snare, let them come into it. Then he says, let there be none to extend mercy to him. Learn how to pray. Lord, fight those that want to take our boys and make them girls. Take our girls and make them boys. Take our labor and make us work for free. And to replace us with everybody else. And to take what's due us and give it and spread it out to every kind of organization. And never give us the right restitution. And never be reconciled to us while they still call themselves worship. Lord, teach us to be mature and learn that we're in war. And if somebody say this is Old Testament, then you better understand Yeshua Jesus is the Son of David. He ain't ever changed nothing. You just don't know the Bible. You still running your mouth. You need to shut up. You need to shut up. You don't know the Bible. Let his posterity be cut off. And in the generation, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers, let the iniquity of his fathers, the rapist, the murderer, the stealer, the one that steals, the one that subjugated people to slavery, the one that wrote laws that excluded us. Let the iniquity of his father be remembered with Yahweh. And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Those that lied on black men and got them lynched. Those that had black women beat because your husband went out there and raped them. And you want to act like nothing happened? You want to say you're not responsible for it? No, you weren't responsible. But you still have the dadgum benefit. You haven't given that up. If you don't take the benefit, you're going to also take with it. But the tax, how did you get it? And restitution must be made. That's why you think they're doing stuff right now to destroy us. Because people are crying out for restitution. But most of the time we're not doing it for godly. And when you give restitution, they're setting it up right now. We're going to give it to a certain activist group and we'll get the money right back. Mm-hmm. When you look at these activist groups that are able to get away and do stuff and don't care anything about God, you better believe they become the spokesman because people don't want to hear the word of God. We better learn to hear the word of God and let God fight. Verse 14, let the iniquity of the fathers be remembered with Yahweh. And let not the sin of the mother be blotted out. You all that's watching this online, share this message. Go ahead and share it. Because it's not getting ready to get soft. It may be the last message that I give. But I'm telling you, I can die tonight, but I'm giving it. It says, and let not the sin of the mother be blotted out. Let them be before Yahweh continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because he has remembered not to show mercy. I went in last night and I saw Ann watching something on ABN on the Trinity Network, and there's no mercy shown to the black man. No mercy, no compassion. Right here in Gainesville, it's a church called the Nazarene, First Church of the Nazarene. They give a token thing. We're going to talk about it, and you didn't talk about the things that are going on in the black community and the white, and you used us as a daggone pawn. But a couple of the people, they had a heart. We want to listen. You make all these tokens. We're going to do something. All these people sending you stuff. We're going to do something for black. And we send it to Black Lives Matter. We send it to NAACP. We send it to ADOS. We send it to all these people. Nobody told them to speak for me. Nobody told me that you can go and do things. And you got white people out here bombing, not necessarily bombing, tearing up stuff. You got people out here with tools that they destroy things, gouging people in the eyes, learning martial arts to do that, carrying knives, and many of them is reported to be funded by Tom Steyer and George Soros, and you don't pay attention. When you look at God's Word, the only time when you're having a holy war is not going to be under the auspices of wickedness. It's never going to be in the auspices of wickedness. Out there painting their dead, go face black, making fun of us again, want to make people destroy us. It is not accidental. You don't want Trump in there, but you're using this to bring up turmoil so you can have power. It ain't about just Trump. It's about power to destroy and decimate us. One time, you wanted to bring 500,000 more Syrians over here to replace us. Then you want to bring everybody across the border and replace us. Why? We're tired of you. We don't want you anymore. We don't want that to treat you like we did the Japanese, the Chinese. We gave them restitution in every other place. Now we send restitution to Israel, to people that are Ashkenaz, Khazars, white on white crime. We send them money every year, and the daggum churches are like, remember Israel. And never remember us. How can you have such a skewed judgment?
And saying that people of God, you want to overlord over me in the ministry and tell me that I'm not supposed to have nothing to do with the Hebrew Scripture. When I'm talking about the Hebrew Scriptures, I'm talking about the Law and the Prophets. Why should I trust you? You control too much, and I'm looking at what you've done with your control. You got an outlandish educational system. You got an outlandish legal system. You got an outlandish system of morality. You got an outlandish system of putting people down and going into countries, raping, robbing, and pillaging, taking over. Why should I trust that you would tell me anything righteous about God? You're not faithful in little. You won't be faithful in much. Because he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he might slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. And he delighted not in blessing, let it be far from him. And as he clothed himself with cursing, like as a garment, so let it come into his bowels, like water, like oil, into his bones. Let it be unto him as a garment which covered him, and a girdle which he is girded with continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversary from the Lord. This is righteous. The Bible says, speak to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual psalms, singing and making melody into your heart to the Lord. I submit to you that I want this to happen to the ungodly. I don't care if you're a black activist group or white activist group, if you're a Democrat or a Republican or whatever, whoever you are that want to just destroy us, and we've done nothing to deserve it. I want you destroyed. I want you damn like David did. And if you don't like me saying that, don't want to ever hear me say it again, then don't listen to me. But I'm going to still pray this mighty prayer. Didn't say that everybody was hearing David say this. Let his reward, this be the reward of my adversary, say the Lord. But do this thou for me, O Lord God, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me. We need to ask the Lord to deliver us. They control our TV, they control our media, they control the music, they control Netflix, they control the internet, they control so much. You better ask God to deliver you. He said, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as locusts. Boop, boop, boop. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth fatness. I am become a reproach to them. When they looked on me, they shook their heads. Help me, Yahweh, my God, save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, and you, Yahweh, has done it. I don't even want the churches that are willing to go alone and be complicit and not stand up from the righteousness of God to be spared. There comes a time when we must be on the Lord's business, and that he will separate, even while we're on earth, those who are and those who are not. That's the only way we're going to know how not to have fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. Let them be a curse, but bless, but let them be a curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame. Let them cover themselves with their own confusion as a mantle. I will greatly praise thee, Yahweh, with my mouth. Yea, I will praise thee among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Did you all feel that? Did you all see the relevance? We're in a bad shape. They're shooting us down. They're hunting us. They're hunting and shooting black people. They're killing black people in the open, trying to make more insurrection to destroy us. It's on every front, before we're born, while we're living, and the black man is the major problem. So what does that have to do with anything? I need to show you something, because everything I'm saying probably doesn't make sense if I don't change the sequence. I bought a book the other day. It was last Saturday night. I get solicited to buy books. And this one is called Social Science, Commentary on the Gospel of John. Marlena Bruce, Rombaugh, and Richard L. Well, probably Richard L. Rombaugh. And I looked at it, and I want you to hear something about what it but background information it gives on John 1:19. John 1:19 says, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Okay? Naomi Josiah, this is important. So, given the background information, because I'm like, I don't want no social stuff, but I read this. In the New Revised Standard Version, this is page, let me flip my thing, because it's page 44, because I have either it shows me where I'm at or it shows me the page. It says in the New Revised Standard Version and a number of other English translations, verse 19 is translated, when the Jews sent priests and Levites. Emphasis. That is unfortunate, since the meaning derived from a social system, the reader speaker, the modern readers will take or think John makes reference to those people whom the readers today know from their experience to be Jews. Let me say it again. The fact is, from a religious point of view, all modern Jews belong to traditions largely after the time of Jesus, and compiled in the Babylonian Talmud, 6th century CE. As for the ethnic origin, Central Europeans called Ashkenazi Jews largely trace their origin to Turkic and Iranian ancestors who comprised the Khazar Empire and converted to Judaism in the 8th century CE. Encyclopedia Britannica, 15th edition, Micropedia 5:788. On the internet, they have a site, www.kazaria.com. If you want to know it, ask me in discussion. www.kazaria.com. It even talks about it. Thus given, the 6th century CE origin of all forms of contemporary, that means today's Jewish religion, as given the United States experience of Jews based largely on Central European Jews themselves originated from the 8th century CE converts. That means not Hebrew people.
This is not a black author. This is Fortress Press. White, telling the truth. It would be quite anachronistic to identify any modern Jews with the Judeans mixed in John's gospel or the rest of the New Testament. Anachronistic, anachronistic is this. If I start saying back in the 1400s when they took their tape recorder, see what I'm saying? It's out of time space. Or if I say back in the 30s when they had CDs, to say that those people, it's an anachronism. All right. Both here and in all 69 other instances of where the term Judeans, Greek, Iuda, appears, there is nothing of the modern connotations of the Jews or Jewishness. It is simply inappropriate to project those modern meanings backwards to the period when John was written. Rather, Judean meant a person meaning, let me go back, I skipped it, I got it highlighted green. Rather, Judean meant to a person belonging to a group called Judean, situated geographically and forming a territory, taking its name from the inhabitants of Judea. Judea is precisely a group of people. Judeans, originally related and rooted in place with its distinctive environs, air and water. Judean thus designate a person from one segment of a larger group, Israel, who comes into place, which the segment is named Judea. I could go on and read more. I also have the same kind of thing that's talked about in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. I'm not going to read it all. The point being made is, you see, when history is rewritten, you can make anybody a Jew. You can make anybody Israel. And you can say in 1948 with the Balfour Agreement with Theodore Herzl that they made those people a land. And you can go take the land from the Palestinian, you kill the Palestinian, you can bomb those people, and you can bring the people that came from the Kingdom of Judah, 1747 map. That's not the only place where you will see the Kingdom of Judah where they took us out and moved us. But when you say something to so-called Christians, they make fun of us because they got a degree. I don't care nothing about your daggum degree. I got 11,000 books plus. And I guarantee you over 10,000 of them are written by people that have doctorates, okay? So why am I going to be impressed with you? You got one doctorate. And I'm looking at people that got thousands of doctorates. Don't play with me. You're not going to be the end all. And I already know you don't want us to identify with the Kingdom of Judah. But at the same time, the people that you say that do, that converted, look at the things that they do to destroy us in the media. Look at the things that they do whenever they promote music. Look at the things when they join our group and start groups. Those groups never get to be able to hold on to the life of the Most High God, Son, the Messiah. So how does that fit with us going into the book of Numbers? Very easily. Look at Numbers. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. Can't do it. Because we've already invested time. But I needed to set it up so that I could teach it the way that I believe need to be taught. Numbers 32. We got to see a group of people here that's happy with things the way that they are. The status quo. And those are the very people that will not pay close attention to what God wants and cause those people to be damned. I submit to you, there is a plan to destroy us. You can look at the laws. They still can rent us out as convicts. It's called a prison industrial complex now. Our waters in Flint, Michigan can stay messed up forever, but let the waters like that be done in the Hamptons, the land that they took from black people. You got rid of the people that you say that were Indians, and you rewrote history and say that none of us black people were Indians. Yeah, you did. You don't talk about Andrew Johnson going through there and killing 4,000 black men and then driving them off to Tulsa and then you dropping a bomb on us. I understand. I understand. So my only hope is going to be in the Most High God and whatever He says. But listen to what the Bible says in Numbers 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer, it'll say Jazer in your Bible, I know it's going to be a Yod. They saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead. Behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elah and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel,
is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let the land be given to thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and you sit here? Wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over to the land which Yahweh have given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. But when they came to the valley of Eshkol, they saw the land and discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they would not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And Yahweh's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upwards to see the land which I swear to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed Yahweh. And Yahweh's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, until all the generation that had done this evil in the sight of Yahweh was consumed. And behold, you have risen up in your father's stead, and increased a sinful man to augment, and yet the fierce anger of Yahweh toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again lead them in the wilderness. And you shall destroy this people. And they came unto him and said, we will build sheepfold for our cattle, and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. But we will not inherit with them. For we will not inherit with them. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan forward. Because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side eastward. And Moses said, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Yahweh to war, and if you will go all armed in the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out the enemies before the Lord, and the land subdued before the Lord, and afterward you shall return, you'll be guiltless before Yahweh and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession. I mean possession, not position. It'll be position too. And this land will be your possession before Yahweh. But if you will not do so, you have sinned against Yahweh. You have sinned against Yahweh. And be sure your sin will find you out. What did I just read? I just read that Yahweh had a plan for them all to go into a place. But somebody, where we are right now, is good enough for me. I don't have to go all the way. It won't take all of that. I'm good where I am. And I can reason better than God. I don't need this holiness to be able to go over there and be separate. I can stay on this side of Jordan. I like what I see. I like what I have. Everything is good for me right now. But what I will do, I will join together with the others so that they can get their freedom, that they can get their land. And I'll go over there and we'll go over there and we'll fight. And we will make sure that we'll be one with them. Well, let me tell you, as you read through the scriptures, the prophets, etc., you will find out that they did go, and you will find out that when the time came, they are the first ones that turned their back on God and they were taken into captivity. They did not stay with God. Tell them why you, how are you going to tie that in there and talk about your history? They forgot their history. They forgot who they were. They forgot who God was. They forgot that they were supposed to go in and obtain the land of God and possess the gates of their enemies. They determined that they were going to go and they had a better way. We don't have to do it God's way. We are doing the same thing. We get with different groups. We get with different churches. Everybody got an opinion, and God's word don't matter. Somebody, everybody got an interpretation.
You don't have an interpretation if you haven't read it. You have an opinion, and an opinion is not an interpretation, and an opinion is not a valid argument. You run in your mouth. Your gums are flapping in the wind. So these people, they saw the land. This is why we have our problems in our communities, you all. We have people that have been meritoriously manumitted. We have been made to be rich in your community. We like it like it is. We are entertainers. We play basketball. We play football. We play baseball. We get to be on the. We get to say or read the news. We get to have mega churches, and we're happy with things just like it is. Let's not rock the boat. Now, what we'll do is we'll make some token things and say, you know, they need to have this, they need to have that, and yet. Every time something bad happens, we drag out you all, Al Sharpton and people like this, to keep the people corralled. And then Hollywood will go out and make some black movies and show some black movies and things like that. We with you. But who's paying the dollars to go see them? Who is it that you want to go and vaccinate with the parts of dead babies' bodies in it? With different things that you would want to test, just like you did it back in the 1700s and the 1800s. You want to experiment on us. France said, let's go take this vaccine and try it in Africa. Other people said, let's try it in Africa. Who is Bill Gates? Somebody that's wealthier than I am? Oh, but when he stands before God and the books are open and another book is open, which is the book of life, he will be dead, judged according to the things that's written in the book. And if his name is not found written in the book of life, then God will grant him his reward based on the wickedness and the deaths that he's willing to create and the havoc he's planning to bring onto the world. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Even on the sign in front of that building, it talks about population reduction. Am I telling the truth? I know what I'm talking about. I just look this kind of way. Here's what we're looking at, saints. We're looking at people that don't want to move on with God because they're satisfied. Are you satisfied? You see, when we talk to our people in other churches, our white brothers, they've got their inheritance. They've got their inheritance on this side of Jordan. They are comfortable. We're not willing to go with you all to help you. When we look at the conservative, we've got no reward. We're not willing to go with you. When we look at the Democrats, we've got our reward. We get to be congressmen, we get to be senators, we get to be over the cities and the states, and we've got our reward. But we're not looking out for you. We want to maintain our position. That's why we can teach you to go away from God's word. That's why we can go along with everything, dance with everybody, bring in damnable heresies. Bring your stuff up with this man of the family. Allow our men to be put in prison. Allow our women to be put in prison. Allow them to be rented out like dogs. To go out and maintain the sheep. We've got ours. You got somebody wealthy. I got mine. I live in a big mansion. I've been able to be manumitted. I don't want to say much for you. And when I do say something, it's ridiculous. Or you get a celebrity, a basketball player walking around with a purse. How is that blessing the black man? As Dr. Francis Crest Wellesley put out there, we want to emasculate the black man. How is it? The man said we control history. Whoever controls history, that person, that group, they control. So, I just want to take you, we're not even going to go deep into it. I'm about finished. You don't believe it. I know you don't. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17, and let's let that thing play it out. The Bible says, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. You know what a landmark is? A landmark is where you determine what your boundary is, what's yours and what's somebody else's. The Bible also makes statements about landmarks. It says in the 28th verse of Proverbs 22, it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Do you know this thing is blinking? It's okay. I'm doing it on the backside anyway. I determined to do that. Remove not the ancient landmark which the fathers have set.
That's important to know that God wants landmarks to be there. Proverbs 23:10, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Don't be removing landmarks and taking things that's not yours. I want you to hear this one. This is very important. This is the most important one of the landmarks that I'm bringing up. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound or the landmark. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the landmark. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. What meaneth that? In order to know what that means, you've got to get a context. Context will be in the first verse. Hear ye this, O priest. Hearken to ye, house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you. Because you have made a snare in Mizpah and have spread the net in Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter. Though I have been a rebuke of them all. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. Listen closely. Ephraim, you commit whoredom. Israel is defiled. That's what you need to start looking. These people are defiled. They mix. They're bringing their own destruction. And when we talk about the princes did it, okay? You committed whoredom. Four. They will not frame their doing to turn unto the Lord. We're going to get everything we need, our success, our freedom, when we not turn to the Lord. For the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them. They have not known Yahweh. And the pride of Israel does testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and their herds to seek Yahweh. But they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against Yahweh. For they have begotten strange children. This means children that's not walking with God. Children that don't know God. Children with other inhabitants of the land. Now a month shall devour them in their portion. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven, which is many times called by evil. After thee, O Benjamin, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke, and the tribes of Israel have I made known what shall surely be. The princes of Judah was like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour my wrath out on them. You removed the heritage. You removed my law. You did the very thing that caused me to turn away from the people. You see, if you don't understand that when you move the bound, you're moving his law. Listen, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore, Ephraim is a mark, and it just goes on and it just shows how he did and he turned. You remove the bond. You remove the bond. This is going to be the death of us. You have everything social, everything governmental, you even have everything seemingly ecclesiastical, you have even the cults that are against us, and then you just have our regular culture against us that do God's will, and we don't see that we're in war, we are fools! The last thing I just want to end up on is this. We're going to be destroyed within 20 years because they don't want us to make babies. They don't want the men to be men. They don't want the women to be women. They're doing things in our schools. They're taking our property and land. They are doing things where people will go through and penalize us for things that white people are doing under the guise of Antifa, etc. We will be damned unless God come and fight for us. And yet when I start talking about solutions and I say what God's word says, that's the Old Testament! That's the Old Testament! Well, let's debunk that before I stop. Without what you call the Old Testament, you wouldn't even have a Bible at all. You wouldn't have a Bible. You wouldn't even close to have a Bible. What do you mean, Tim, that you wouldn't even close to have a Bible? Well, I got programs inside of my computer that shows the New Testament use in the Old Testament. I have that. But in order to save time, let's just say you wouldn't have the book of Romans anymore. What do you mean?
Well, in chapter 1, it talks about the beginning of the world. Am I right? It talks about the beginning of the world. It talks about when man knew God, they glorified him not as God, became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Genesis chapter 6 said the heart of every man was fully evil. Didn't it say that? And God got ready to destroy them. Then the Bible said they turned over to do a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. We can look at the Tower of Babel and see that they did that, and then they would offer things to other gods. Chapter 2 says explicitly, when you look at chapter 2, it tells you that those people were judging and doing the same thing. He said they were inexcusable for doing that. Didn't he say it? Then he said the Gentiles, they didn't know the law of God. What? But the Jews knew it, didn't do it. So how is it that the Jews were supposed to know God's law and wasn't doing it if God's law was not mandatory? He was talking to the New Testament when he said that. And in the fifth verse, he's talking about you treasure up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God that would judge every man according to his words. Where did he get that from? It came from the Old Testament. Do you hear Ecclesiastes? God shall bring every work into what? With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Chapter 3 said the Jews knew all the ordinances, they knew the covenants of God, and they weren't keeping it, and that they were guilty before God. It said that chapter 4. You want to talk about the Old Testament is invalid? How in the world are you going to have Romans chapter 4 when it talks about Abraham being the father of faith, whether Abraham was circumcised or uncircumcised, and it talks about David obtaining faith, and it talks about Isaac when he said he received him from the dead, when he offered him from the dead, that God be those. The one that called those things to be not as though they are. Chapter 5 talks about explicitly where there's an Adam and Adam sinned and sold the world into sin. And that's why you have the Christ. How are you going to have that if you in that Old Testament? And how are you going to do chapter 6 of Romans where it talks about the wages of sin is death? Where do you think they got the sacrificial system from? Because every time you sin, you don't get killed. He's talking about the death penalty was given to the animals. And then he says the gift of God is eternal life. You can't read the book of Numbers and say God always wanted them to have life, to promote life. Chapter 7 talks about, you know that the law says that a woman is bound to a man as long as he lives. Where do you get that from? When God is joined together, let not man put asunder. You go to chapter 8, and there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You know, there is therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then it goes on to say that the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin, the death of what the law could not do, and it was weak to the flesh. And it goes on to say that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in them that walk right after the flesh. Where do you think that come from? Have you ever read the book of Numbers? Did you ever read that they had a cloudy pillar? Did you ever read that they had a pillar of fire? Did you ever read that the Spirit of God was in that cloud? Did you ever read that when they walked with that cloud, nobody could bother them? It was the law of the Spirit of life. It was made them free from the law of sin and death. Do you not understand that cloud was leading them to think of the whole of righteousness of God's law? How do you read the Bible? Old Testament. God of Jesus. Chapter 9, you would not be able to hear him talk about Isaac. And you wouldn't even hear him talk about Esau. In chapter 10, you wouldn't even see why he says his heart is not a prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. You would not have any of the things him talking about that they had went through with Israel as a nation and what God had done for them. In chapter 11, you would not know that they were in charge, that there was an olive tree. Some was grafted off, some was grafted in to fulfill the scripture. Chapter 12, you wouldn't know nothing about a living sacrifice. You wouldn't know anything about avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. It is written, he's quoting. All is going to be a quote from your Bible. And I could go on and on and on. I was going to do it. I was going to do Hebrews as well, but I'm not. Every time you see it's written, or there's an allusion to something, it goes back to the foundational scriptures. And because somebody that want to change the history and rewrite the history and make you soft and make you not stand for the cause of God, you let them tell you that it's invalid. The apostles didn't act like it was invalid. Paul said it was his gospel. I know people think I'm lying, and I didn't even want to read it, but I'm going to do Romans 16 because I ain't a liar. I want you to see how this, I don't believe, at the end of the book of Romans, this chapter 16, listen to what Paul talks about in his grace, 16:24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before the world began, but now is made manifest, by the scriptures of the prophets. That's my gospel. The scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith right now. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. I just love the Word of God. There are so many places. I'm not going to read them all. But do you all understand what we just covered today? We just covered the devil orchestrated plan to get rid of us. Those that share their skin type. Those of us who know that it's been, our history has been rewritten. That's why you could go from black to nigger to negro to people of color, African American. That's why you can go through all of that. Because we never wanted you to know that before 1619 you were a people. We never wanted you to know that on the slave ships, and if you may not be able to get that in the future, that you had names like Benaiah, your name like Obadiah. You had all these children that came over here whose name was Yah. How did they get those names? Because we've told you were somebody that you weren't. And we made war against black people ever since Proposition 8 was destroyed. We made more war. Because what we want to do is we want to be able to make pedophilia legal. We want to make pedophilia legal all over. And we want to be able to say that the child seduced me as a grown man and I don't go to jail. As a black group of people, and I didn't say race. That's an evolutionary term. As a black ethnic group, the only race we have is the race for wealth. I'm talking about on a human standpoint, wealth and prosperity. And in that race, there have been obstacles set for you all over, from your schooling, from the job, from the areas where you can live. That's the only race, that one in the race that you run with patience. But as ethnic groups, we're set to be destroyed. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Weigh the actions. And show me where there's anything, even by those that say they love us, that's set up to love us. Even those that say they are Christian brothers. Oh, you get a big mega church and often you'll have one of our white brothers over it and they'll let you be token like on South Park. And when it comes down to really caring, when you show me you care, you'll do something about the laws. You'll do something about the laws that are still extant. You won't be like the man over the war that's in Angola that said, over half these men in here are innocent, but we're still going to let you be here in prison and work. And people make money off of you. When you start caring about the righteousness of God, you're going to go past your evangelicalism and you're going to go to the Hebrew scriptures, the foundational scriptures, the law and the prophets. That's what we're built up on. We're not just built up on the apostles. Ephesians 2 said the law and the prophets and the apostles. We want to dismiss so that we can fit in with somebody. I don't want to fit in with nobody except God's word. I've become determined. Again, in 20 years, if things keep going like they're going, and these activist groups get to always be our voice, and we never speak what God has said, with the reduction of male patriarchy, with the reduction of men being wanting to be men, with the reduction of women wanting to be with men and just being with women, with the reduction of us totally being against God's word, with no reduction of the laws given, and with the escalation of things and crimes being done against us, shooting us, killing us, hanging us, and doing things and making it look like us, we'll continue to be scattered so much so we'll be like on a reservation. We'll be destroyed. Because the history is being rewritten in our eyes. Who do you think want these statutes tore down? They're showing their wickedness. They're moving the landmarks. They're doing that forgetting thing that I read about. The right to forget. I had one where Stalin said the same thing, but I decided not to read it. With that, I'm just going to stop and say, wake up.
This is a warning. I may not be the best one to give it, but I daggum gave one. And it won't be my last. What's our hope? We need to cry out like that 109th Psalm did. Lord, you fight. Everything they want to do to us, do to them. Do it. Quit praying for God to save somebody that is already determined to not be saved. How do you know? I don't know. So I say, Lord, if they're not going to change, damn them. Please, quickly, expeditiously, and let them know that it's you. Rahab knew that it wasn't Israel out there destroying everybody. He said, we're scared of your God. If we don't come home, we'll be destroyed. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for letting us see that there are warnings. Thank you for letting us see that they're coming after us with full force. And we help them. We join in with them like they did at Baal Peor. We join in with them by celebrating their celebrities. We join in with them by joining in their holidays and giving them extra money to do things to us instead of just staying abstaining from it. We join in with it because we let people, just because they share the name Christian or they share the name believers, they feel like your word when it says restitution must be made doesn't matter. Help us to see you more clearly. Love you more dearly. Follow you more nearly. And grant us your holy and righteous peace. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. I now open our class for discussion. It was, to me, it was somber. Might not have been somber to anybody else, but just knowing what I see was very sad. Any comments?
You know, with the book of Esther, I figure you've heard it because, one, you've been longer than me. Two, you've definitely been in the Word longer than I have. Three, you've been out on the street as well as in organized church. So I imagine you've heard that when they talk about the book of Esther, God is not mentioned. But to see, I like that you brought it up.
Thank you.
Because, when I read it, let's say the first time I read it, I was like, okay, I thought there was, well, God is the name or the G-O-D or whatever, it is not there, but to really think about it, see, he's there. And I think it goes well with 109 Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at it and to see that we can do that. So even though, I mean, there is hope if we're faithful, but I don't have a lot to say. It's got their answers. I remember as a child when I was in elementary school, probably from first grade on up, but I remember more around sixth grade, and then when I got in what we call middle school and so forth, I always wondered why, what happened. It was like I knew I was born. I knew that I was of the black people group ethnicity. I was like, we don't have answers. And I think, where did we come from? You know, Africa, and that's it. I remember when Roots was playing, and I remember feeling funny going to school for 2 or 3 days. And it was almost like a quietness. And then I think a few people would say something, and it might giggle. Other people would say something, it'd be serious or whatever. But it was like, I was like, where are the answers? And to learn this, because you started, this was last year, probably maybe even, I don't remember what part of last year, but at the beginning, it was last year. I think it might have been longer when you started. And to see where, it, let's say universally, because it's been going on a long time, but now out in the forefront, but you started,
Isn't that amazing?
You started way back, so whereas people might not have wanted to hear it, some people out there doing things that seem there's a modicum of what seems to be right, but it's wrong because of motivation and what they want to do is wrong. And then you got people pretending to have this concern to correct. But like you mentioned, George Soros. I don't remember the other person that you mentioned.
Tom Steyer. And I wouldn't be surprised if, and I don't know, but I know Bloomberg throws money to a lot of these organizations.
Yeah.
And these money men, they have agendas.
So
go ahead.
To see that, it helped. I think that's good because it helps us to be aware. But to have answers better and to be better informed, that's good. Because there's been times when I wanted to say something and maybe I'd read about it, but it wasn't concrete or either. You can be right and you can say things and it's right, but because it's maybe not even able to articulate it, this is good because, first of all, the scripture is right. So I think, I enjoyed it. I don't think I'm saying a lot, but it was good. So I appreciate it. But to be able to stand on the foundation, actually more than anything else. Because the other thing that supports what the scripture is saying, that's nice, but to see it from the scripture. So because, like, that, you know, the Bible said put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wild devil, and talk about how you can shut the mouths of the game, saying that's good because I didn't know this. Because, you know, like when you say forget the Old Testament, even as a child, it made no sense to me. I'm like, how do we do that? Why are we carrying the whole Bible? And I think we should rip it. Or, you know, you got something else. This is the New Testament. Or like that Gideon. And I ain't knocking it, but maybe it's because this is convenient. They have the, what, Proverbs and the Psalm maybe in the back part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is the whole of God's Word, you know. So, that's good. Because I think that will help us. But to be in the Word, not just a head thing, but living the Word, being correct, being absolved, all what the Word says, but to have the answers. Because, yes, people are going to get mad, but you can also shut them up.
For real.
And, like, when you say they're scared, it's really interesting because if we can see the pattern, a lot of times people scared is when they fight. They will fight. Some won't, but quit ye Philistines. That stood out. Every time I read it,
quit ye Philistines and fight like men.
How do you say you're scared, but then quit ye Philistines because you backed in the corner? And then, like, I think you were saying, like, even some of what you were saying today, the same thing. So that's how we have to be, but standing on the armor of God. Like, don't fear, but, like, that's where you stand on Him. You know what I'm saying? So, I am going to pass this. Because God can get the glory. Because even it's like, though you destroy me, I look like you're going to destroy me, I spoke for the Lord. And what you're really afraid of, you still heard somebody say it who didn't care about what you think you can do. So, it was good.
And dream. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. No, you did. What do y'all say, Precious? Tell Tim.
I don't have anything to say. It was good.
Why was it good?
It was good because it was you. No. It was about the God. Word of God. If it was about Jesus. It was good.
What's your title?
Did you
give a title?
Revelation of good overrides the revelation of God. We will ultimately damn ourselves.
And my subtopic was pretty much that they ought to destroy us.
They're out to destroy us. They want to destroy us. And we don't even really realize it. And so when you just, I gave it 20 years. 20 years of everything that's being done, if they can continually make, a group, a homosexual group, be the spokespeople for us and get all the money for us, all the celebrities donate to a group that really wasn't even about us, Black Lives Matter. People get mad when you say something about them. I don't like what they stand for. Do they have a right to stand? Yes. But so do we. But you will not get to stand in their organization and say what you say. And so what happens is they want to put a face on Black people that we feel safe with, and we'll give monies to them, and we'll say that we've done reconciliation with you, all of you, and they'll be the spokesman. But the spokespeople with the face are being funded. They're very well funded. Not only very well funded, the people that's doing anarchistic things like, they're more than Antifa. O'Keefe did a thing on them. Yeah, you can see part of it on the web. James O'Keefe. And you get a chance to see that they are practicing how to gouge your eyes out, how to stab you and wound you, how to hurt you, how to destroy buildings, because we need maximized chaos so that people will want to get rid of Trump. I'm going to tell you what's quite amazing to me. No matter what you think about the man, there has been a whole lot of stuff orchestrated to get rid of him. What is it that's inside the government of those that's entrenched that they're afraid of? There's some things that's coming out if they get to come out. But when you get to write the history, and I started noticing that as I got older, if I didn't like a president and somebody else did, I could look and see that there would be two things written about him. If I could see, I could hear, for instance, I heard people say stuff that Obama never had a scandal. Yet, he lit up the White House in LGBT color, and you don't call that a scandal? You didn't light it up with a Black Power fist. You didn't light it up with a slave chain around somebody's neck. You did send those weapons over there that they call Fast and Furious. You did a lot. I mean, I'm just saying, but then you have people that didn't like him. They'll say a lot of stuff and never mention in a good light that he did expose stuff about the Constitution that should be amended. And so we better pay attention to what God's Word say in His agenda. When we pay attention to what His Word say in His agenda, we know how to walk. We know how to live. 20 years. You continue to kill our babies, even when it was when the pandemic was out, okay? Planned Parenthood was still able to kill our babies. That's amazing. They got an exemption. As if they were a necessary necessity. A necessity for who? We don't want those babies born during this time. They were able to stay open. So we're still killing your babies. We're still giving you all kind of birth control. We're still doing Depo-Provera. And some of those things make women sterile for good. Some of them cause different kind of disease. We're still shooting people. We're still killing people and making it public. And then people can stage stuff. I remember that people staged stuff. Even during the first Trump rallies, I remember people go in, try to start a fight. This stuff can be staged so we can get an uproar. And then every time a Black person get killed, CNN will allow a little bit to come out, a little bit to come out. And before long, they make you think the man deserved to be killed. Well, he beat his wife. Well, he had a stolen $20 bill. Well, he had a gun. Well, he was bad in school. Well, wait just a daggum minute. If you say that and that's a good reason for him to die, let me take every one of you news anchors and let me just dig 10 minutes. You deserve to die. And so what happens is we can kill you
And with the manipulation of writing the history of that person's life, we can control you to say, well, it ain't that bad. What's wrong with us? We want to do activism without God. It's going to cost us. They don't want us here. We've used you. Why to kill Martin? They didn't kill Martin because they said he was having sex with women. They didn't kill Martin because they said J. Edgar Hoover taped him doing stuff. They didn't kill him because what Reverend Abernathy said. They killed him when he did the poor man's campaign and say that you all have treated us badly. You brought your people over here, you gave them land. At one time, I think they were giving 600 acres of land to people. Wasn't it 600 acres of land they were giving our white brothers, giving them land, teaching them how to farm it, mechanizing it, giving them seed to do that? They didn't do that for us. And so when he says, the things that you've done for us, we're coming to get our check. That's when he was killed. He was like, you know, sometimes people say ninja instead of what I want to say. Ninja, you've gone too far. What do they care about a black politician having sex? I mean, what do they care about that guy in New York? What was his name with the slick hair? He was a congressman for a long time. They caught him in his underwear. They just got rid of him. You know, I'm talking about that old dude. I can't remember. You know what? No, Barney Frank was doing homosexuals, and then he had a brothel. This was a black guy. And then, yeah, he was a black guy in New York. Somebody just type in congressman from New York. He's retired now. And then it's the same thing. You have nothing to say about the mess Kamala was doing with the man that she got to be built up on. You don't say anything. You don't seem to care about Jesse Jackson being called Big Daddy when he's making babies. I mean, what I'm saying is they don't care about you having sex. So don't bring it up about King. If you're not going to bring it up, you know, you got that man that was in Baltimore that just died. Don't bring it up with all the money. What you don't like, you didn't like the fact that he said, where's our check? You didn't like the fact he brought up stuff. But see, you still give black people bad seed. There's a lawsuit right now going on. Well, a black man was sold bad seed. You want to destroy the farmland, just like you were doing before. But our white brothers, sometimes even our African, I'm saying churchianity people, we get to the place where we don't care because it's like you're so far removed from us. But you don't want to defend the fatherless. You don't want to defend those that are oppressed. Well, they look like us, but see, we got our land on the other side of Jordan. We got something to go back to. Until we really understand, like the Bible says, this one scripture, we're going to be messed up. And since I don't see any questions on the conference line, then I'll be able to say, you know, we can go and let somebody else come up with something beautiful. But in Isaiah 9 and 7, talking about the Messiah, of the increase of his government and shalom, peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, to establish it with judgment and with justice. And henceforth from ever the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You talking about no justice, no peace? The Bible said this is where justice is coming from him. But we leave him out. We don't care. How are we going to let the world, I don't care if it says it's evangelical. Can you not discern the difference between the world and God? Just because it has on a bishop collar, you know, a little white collar, or just because he got on this big dress you call a robe or whatever, because he wears it or because he calls himself pastor, apostle, or bishop, or prophet, I'm your pastor. And do you not understand what the Word of God says? The Word of God was given so that everybody would know, even when the king was wrong. There were neighbors, that's why Naboth was killed.
It was not right to give up the inheritance. God, I wish we would go back to His Word.
Those robes don't have, if I don't remember exactly, but they don't have the best origin. They go back to either before, around the medieval period time, but there's an association either with, I think, the Jesuits or the Catholic Church. So even the robes that people graduated, I didn't know that in the beginning, but even those robes, they go to meaning. Now it's like not necessarily the same thing, but there is something with that garb.
Quite amazing when you realize that they called Martin Luther a doctor of the church. They were given doctorates then. Mm-hmm. Doctor of the church. Well, I'm not going to hold you. I'm going to look and see if there's anybody on the Facebook. A lot of times they don't make comments, but I did want to make sure that if someone did, that I addressed it. I don't see any. So, nobody else? May the Lord bless us and keep us. Make His beautiful face to shine upon us and be gracious to us and give us peace.